Blog Talk Radio.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty? Be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice. Like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty. Be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour
Hallelujah. 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 Welcome to Beth Yahweh Blog Talk. I'm your host, Shabael. Brother Rob. I'm filling in for Brother Ariel. If you wonder, Brother Ariel is doing well. He's not under the weather. He's not sick or anything. I know I was waiting for the next segment of his series, but he'll be back, y'all willing, next Friday. Brother Ariel is taking his family to celebrate his son, his only son, Sean Jr., who graduated from college last Saturday. So, Mazel Tov, congratulations to the Kelly family. I mean, they had safe travel mercies to the destination where he's taking the family at this weekend. Start off with the opening blessing. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has chosen God, good prophets, and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moses, his servants, Israel, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Welcome to Blog Talk. As we always remind you, and I apologize because I forgot to remind you the last time, but you should know, have your tools. Your tools in this field, every job has a trade, has tools. In this field, you want to have your, as a Bible, a child of God and a student of God, you want to have your tools, which could be a notepad, well, now we're in technology, an iPad, a pen, pencil, highlighter to highlight something that may have pricked your soul. And most important, if you have none of those, have your Bible so you can read along with it, so it'd be implanted in your spirit, your soul, so he can, Father Yah can recall it at a time when it's needed. Also, this broadcast, these are archived and recorded. I want to start off with a prayer. Hallelujah. Father Yah, thank you for waking me and giving me the breath of life once again. Completing this week, you're ready to enter into your Sabbath, Father Yah. Father Yah, bless our spiritual leader, Rabbi Yahkael ben Gershom Daniel, Yahushua HaMashiach, all the Kohens. Bless the congregation of Beth Yahweh. Continue to watch over Sister Debbie, our Coach Debbie, as you continue to comfort and heal her in her process of healing and deliverance. Father Yah, bless our Zakin Ward, Zakin Gears, and knowledge. Bless all the wives in the congregation. Give them the spirit of a help meet. The virtuous woman, Proverbs chapter 31. And let them tear down in their daily walks the spirit of Jezebel. Or now in the modern times, it's the spirit of feminism, which is, we know from the father, the author of confusion, Hasatan. Tear that down. And strengthen the sisters. Strengthen our single sisters. And keep them strengthening. And continue, keep them in your hedge. Strengthen our young teenagers in this world to keep them focused on their parents and be obedient to their parents. And watch over the little children in the congregation. Keep them in your hedge. Keep any unclean spirits away from entering into them. Continue to strengthen our sister Naomi as she's recovering, and Yahweh's building her, strengthening her, taking her on her journey. And you're not alone, sis. He's leading you, he's with you the whole time. He just wants you to take his hand. And as you may not have heard Brother Ahavel teaching last Sabbath morning, Yahweh wants you to be more encouraged in him. Because your father, he has faith. He's one of the Kohen. Your mother, she has faith. You have faith too, sis. You just need to strengthen your faith and walk with Yahweh the Most High. And I'll never forget Hebrews chapter 13:5. Yahweh will never leave you nor abandon you. Trust in Yahweh with your whole heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all that you do, and he shall direct your path. I want to pray for anyone I forgot to pray for. Father, forgive me. And thank you once again for allowing us to make it through this week to your Shabbat, which will enter in 15 or 20 minutes to say. And thank you. Open up our spiritual ears and spiritual eyes so we can decrease, so allow your word to increase. And may your word come and speak to me. In the name of your son, our soon coming King and Redeemer, Yahushua. Amen. And continue also, apologize, to comfort the Emoja family, Brother Yariel, his family, because he lost a sibling, a little brother. So continue to strengthen their family too. Except forgive me for anybody else about me. Continue to strengthen all of us. Amen. I'm your host, filling in for Brother Ariel. I know I was waiting to hear him also. He'll be back, God willing. Today is on Yahweh's calendar. Today is the 26th of the month, of the second month of Yahweh calendar, the month of Ziph, the 26th of Ziph. But at sunset, another 15, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, it will be the 27th of Ziph. The Sabbath will enter in. Not only will it be the 27th of Ziph, today will be the 41st day of the sixth week. And you probably say, what are you talking about? 41st day of the sixth week. The sixth week, the sixth week is the counting of the Omer. After Passover, Feast Unleavened Bread, you find those things in Leviticus chapter 23 is mentioned. You say, wave a sheaf offering the day after Shabbat, and for 7 weeks. And then it will be presented on the 50th day, which is next Sabbath at sunset. Sunday at sunset will begin the seventh and final week of the 7 weeks that's instructed to count. It'll be the 43rd day, this Sunday that's coming up at sunset. It will be the seventh week, the beginning of the seventh week, and the 43rd day, because we count 7 weeks times seven is 49 days. And next Shabbat, that sunset will be the 50th day. And then the following day, which will be June the 5th, will be Pentecost, Shavuot. You find that account in Acts chapter 1 and 2, but you can pick it up and get the full understanding of it starting around Luke chapter 23, because that's the promise that Yahshua was mentioned, that when he told him, go tarry up in Jerusalem after he rose from the tomb after 3 days, three days after being crucified on the Passover, on the 14th of Abib. Fulfillment of the promise, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, that will be the final holy day of the spring feast. Start off in the first month of Abib with the 14th. Passover starts it off, which is not a holy day, but it starts the holy season off. The crucifixion of the Messiah for the salvation of mankind. That's where salvation begins, right there on that Passover. With that story that accounts found in Exodus 12, where the blood was told, get a lamb that represents the Messiah, who he knew no sin, a perfect lamb, a year old, no blemish or anything, and slaughtered and put the blood on the door mantle and the lintels. And at night, the angel will pass by, the death angel will pass by. Then the next day at sunset is the 15th, the first day of Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then you have that feast for 7 days. And then, well, just before, right after that first day of unleavened bread, where depending on the day that it falls on, that's when you count, you start counting the Omer on the Sunday, the first day of the week. That's like I said, you'll find that it's in lists where all the holy days are listed in Leviticus chapter 23. And you start to count. That's week one, week two, week three. And like I said, right now, we're in the last day, excuse me, next to the last day, the 41st day, right now is the 40th, but the 41st day of sunset, which would be the 27th of Ziph, and tomorrow will be the last day of the sixth week, which will be the 42nd day. So that's what, six times seven is 42. So we'll be going into 43rd, 44th, 46th, 47th, 48th, 49th, and that's in the seventh week, seven times seven. So the sixth week will be ending at sunset, excuse me, at sunset tomorrow. And the seventh week will begin sunset Sunday. Sound kind of confusing, like, but all this is important because it's the counting of the omens, it's the counting of waiting for the produce of the land, the field to be ripe and presented to the Most High. Since I was told that I had to teach tonight, I was thinking and asking Yahweh for some guidance and some things, what he would want like for me to talk about and to teach. I kept looking at some things, pondering on some things, and what I just came to understand, because I had to talk to my brother Ariel yesterday when he called me and you know, and informed me that he won't be able to do class this evening. And me and him had a conversation. I shared some things with him. And what I told him, what I've been going through over the last couple of weeks was perfection. What perfection is in the eyes of Yahweh. And he let me see that Yahweh perfection is different than what man speaks of perfection. And like me and brother Ariel was talking, it's impossible for mankind to be perfect. Now listen to what I'm saying. It's impossible for mankind to be perfect on his own merit and own being, set up his form of righteousness like Paul tells us in Romans. But we can obtain perfectionist through Yahushua, through following what? The laws, commandments, and statutes of his father's word, that is for. That's why the father can say, this is my son, whom I'm well pleased. And that's the only way we can be perfect. As we know through the scriptures, when we think of certain people, our patriarchs, Abraham wasn't perfect in the standards of mankind or the world. And what came to my mind, I saw a video last week of a young lady who was talking about one of the civil rights leaders that we had, everybody familiar with, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who was assassinated back in 1968 in Memphis, Tennessee. And what she was stating, the young sister was stating, that how is he such a great man and a leader, a great leader and perfect, and he cheated on his spouse. For one, that's an allegation. The young lady doesn't understand. So she don't know. We don't know to this day. Only Martin Luther King, Dr. King, and Loretta Scott King and Yahweh know, was that a true accusation? As far as I know, it was allegedly, and during the time, they were doing anything to scar and slander any black leaders back then, because they were getting momentum from people that needed an answer or needed to wanted deliverance. So therefore, they had to do discouraging things. So that's one way to be discouraging and break up an organization. Because why? You start in the family. And where I'm going on with this is, she was saying, well, he's not perfect. Like I said, for one, that's between him, Yahweh, and his wife. But the cause that he stood for, what he represented, he may have, if it was true allegations, like I said, just an allegation, we don't know if the tapes were, tapes that they made or whatever. But in the event if it was, he wasn't perfect in the eyes of a perfection of her standard, what she was brought up, what she may believe perfect is, what she want a leader to be. Yahshua was the perfect leader that ever walked on the face of the earth. And people discarded him. Gave him no validation, discredited him, dishonored him. And he was the pinnacle of perfection. Because why? How could he be? Why? Because why? He followed the Torah. He said, I only do what the Father asked me to do. So what that means, Shavel? Remember the young rich ruler came up to him and said, good master. He said, call no one good. He was humble enough to know that I'm good. But that's how humble humility, but he said, excuse me, I need some water. Apologize. I was all right all day now. He said, call no one good. Only the Father is good. And this is the same person that tells you in Philippians chapter 2 that being equal with the Father, I found it not robbery, but he was obedient to the death of his life, his death of himself, denying himself, his flesh, like Paul tells us in Romans 12, to be a living sacrifice, an honorable and acceptable sacrifice in Most High. And he took the death on the tree. It was people have been taught over years on the cross, but it was a stake, a tree. So that's two deaths. People just may not understand it. He denied anything that the flesh desired in this, when you live in this world, in the world, he denied all that to suppress it and to be obedient to the Father's will, to show us that you can live perfection through the Father ways and the Holy Spirit, but no other ways. And that's found in 1 John, where he tells you the lust of the eye, the pride of life, those are things that get in the way and have the war, that the tug of war goes on. It. And you see the tug of war, the things that come out from the flesh, you'll find a list of them. If I'm not mistaken, it's been a while you should study that. Galatians chapter 5, I think it started verse 13 or whatever. It's 17 seeds of the flesh that can produce fruit. 17. It's just glutton. Gluttonous. It's a couple of. I can't even think of any right now. But if you look in Galatians, starting around about Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, you'll see it. You can count 17. Of the flesh, where it's only 9 fruit of the Spirit. And so that's the only way we can conquer and live perfect. And he did that because why? The Father said, this is my well-believed son. This is my well-beloved son, whom I'm well-pleased. How we please the Father? Being obedient to his Torah. And Yahshua showed us that. So when people say it's impossible, nobody can be perfect. No, that's true. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to live in you and renew your mind with his word, washing your mind and cleansing your mind with his word, it can be done. So what I'm saying was that the young lady, what she said, okay, Dr. King wasn't perfect like that, but the things that he accomplished, if it wasn't for him, she wouldn't have had a podcast, what he lost his life for. He wouldn't have had an opportunity to sit on a podcast and be on a YouTube video like I came across Monday or Tuesday if it wasn't for him, Dr. King, and others before her. So the perfect, but getting to, it's a difference where we had to realize, like I said, Abraham wasn't perfect. David, King David, we know he wasn't perfect like that, but he knew how to get perfect. What did he say in Psalms 51, I believe, Father, when he realized that the Nathan, the prophet, was sent to him and told him what his offense was and that Yahweh saw it, that you thought you got away? David prayed, fell on his knees, put sackcloth. He said, do not, please, Father, do not remove and take your Holy Spirit. That's how you get perfect. But it's not just the perfection that we should look at, like I was sharing with Brother Ariel, where I came to understand. I'm not perfect, because I know family members or people say that. Well, nobody's perfect but the Son of God. Can't nobody do that? That's where they're wrong. You can. If you read your word, you'll see. And he gave us all the antidote and the ways, the breadcrumbs, the ways to have that perfection of the Most High, to be a kingdom citizen down here on earth as it is in heaven. But the key to it, we got a little bit of understanding from Brother Aha Bell last Saturday when he shared testimony and his teaching. Rabbi Yaakov last Sabbath, and two Sabbaths ago, Brother Ariel taught Corinthians, and he went in the book of Tobit. And it was like the gentleman told me how he did a lot of things. He did a lot. He wasn't perfect. Well, we was perfect, but he was what you call faithful. And by that, he got his eyesight back for being faithful. But it said it was ingredients. It said he gave alms, but to go with that giving alms, I thought I wrote that down. I apologize. Yeah. He went in the book of Tobit, chapter 12. Hallelujah. And chapter 12, verse 8 and 9, and it stated that Tobit received his sight back because of his faithfulness. But his faithfulness, but it came under because he gave alms. But to go with the alms, it was prayer goes along company with that, fasting company along with giving, not just giving alms, and righteousness, four. So it's four things. When you exercise those four things, that's when it activates. So we have all the things we need to be aware, because we're not Paul tells us in Corinthians, we're aware of Satan's devices. Man, this should be one of my verses. Can't remember. We're not ignorant. Hallelujah. Thank you. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We're not. But we have to always be diligent and constant. Keep it on the forefront of our minds. Brother Eleazar used to say, one of the elders of Beth Yahweh is no longer with us. He's resting right now, waiting for that day in glory. But when we continue to stay in his word, Yahweh word, and keeping our mind renewed, refreshing our mind, cleansing our mind, that's how we break down any barrier or stronghold, as Brother Ariel taught one time at Corinthians, pulling down any stronghold that comes up against us. Yahweh gives us a way out of anything that we come to battle or face. But we have to believe it, and we have to do it, and we have to do it as we have examples in Matthew chapter 13, where it said it was a sower. It gives you a analogy of three different kinds of people that received. One that fell on some shallow ground, so birds came and swapped it up. It didn't get a chance to sink down and get rooted. Remember, Brother Yaakov was talking about rooting. Brother Aha Bell was talking about the faith of a mustard seed, how it start off little, but then it goes, the roots go so deep to depth. And then it tells you another analogy of an individual. They hear the word, but then the cares of the world come and takes them from it. So they get into the cares of the world and it's gone. So he gives us the things that we have to do. They're all in his word, but we have to go through that word, pray, constantly pray, encourage one another, help one another. And what Tobit went through, Tobit had, was he perfect? How did he get perfection? He had faith. He was faithful. Like I try to tell somebody, oh, no, I'm not perfect. But when we can learn from the man that was the perfect man on the ever walked on the face of the earth, the creator, Yahushua, he was also faithful. What I mean by faithful over perfect. Yeah, you're going to make mistakes or don't hit the mark all the time. You're going to get angry. That flesh going to rise up. Like I said, it's found in Galatians chapter 5, I think it's found in verse 13. It's like 17 different seeds. But our job is to be the gardener, to chop it, to cut it off the root so they don't manifest and grow and produce and be productive. And we got 9, I want to say fertilizers or what would you say, insecticide, or to prevent those in chapter 5, verse 22, patience, faith, long suffering, temperance, joy. That's what we do to stop those other 17. And we do what? If it get a little rough, we pray, we fast, we give alms within your boundaries, because Yahweh knows what everyone has to give. You can't give what you don't have, but you can share some of what you have. Because Yahweh knows all. Remember, we went through a cheerful giver. That's what that subject believes that Brother Ariel had to teach that week. He had to teach that was when we was in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 through 10. And then that's what the Spirit led him to Tobit and how Tobit did things. He was like a cheerful giver. So what we had to realize, when we do those things rise up, that's how we can combat them. That's how we can overcome the pride of life, lust of the flesh, and we can learn from that. So the thing is, we can be faithful. Yeah, and the faithfulness, Yahweh honors faithfulness more than perfection, because it's getting back to something that Yahweh shared with me a couple months when I had to, I had to fill in for Brother Ariel a couple months back, and he gave me something 2 mornings before that, so I said, I'm going to share this with the congregation. I was going to try to put it together a lesson, but I said, I'm just going to share this, what you gave me and talk to me on the way down the steps into the job. It's character or integrity, character and integrity. They seem the same, but they're different. They seem the same, but they're different. And same thing with perfection and faithfulness. So our job as Bible believers and children of God and co-laborers with the Holy Spirit to get the word out in this darkened world is to give, to remain faithful to that word, like he tells us in Hebrews 11:6, them that diligently seek him, and then what, Jeremiah 29:11-13, you know the plans for you to prosper, plans for a good ending, expected good ending, no evil. If you continue to call out to me, I will answer you. So we have to be faithful and honor his word. That's how we honor him. That's another way of showing, if you love me, like they're teaching out here, God is love. But he also, his love comes in other facets. It's not just, my parents love me, but I also got punishments and spankings. Well, yeah, I guess you would say spankings. People understand what that is. That was love, too. Now I look back years later, I'm 54. They loved me. They really loved me for this world that I came up in and been without my parents for 30, my father been gone for 30 years, my mother for 27 years, my grandmother for 28 years. They loved me because they prepared me for things that have been coming on my life all those years. Now, if they had just hugged me, my mother and grandmother, because I grew up in a household where my father came from a generation, men don't kiss men, men shake hands. And that's the generation I grew up in. So they prepared me with that love, what we call now, I guess you could say modern times, tough love. That's how Yahshua do it. What he say in Hebrews, he chastised those whom he loved. Because he want us to do what? Be obedient. And he don't want to, he's not going to spread a rod, spoil a child. No, he don't want no spoiled children. But he want us to be faithful to his word, faithful to his promises, and stand on them. Proverbs 3, chapter 3, trust in with your whole heart. Not one third, three fourths, two thirds. Your whole heart, lean not on some of your understanding, lean not on none of your understanding, and acknowledge him in all things. And he shall, not he might, maybe, no, because Matthew 6, chapter 6, the whole chapter, but start around about 23, 24. To take not thought, worry of nothing, what you eat, your raiment, your clothing, what you wear. He said the birds don't sow. Well, basically, they don't reap nothing that they sow. Or basically, what we compare them to, the birds don't go and punch a clock, go to work, put in 40 hours, 80 hours, and get paid. He said, don't I take care of them? Aren't you more valuable than the birds? Yes. He created birds, what, on the fifth day? Yeah, he loved them. But he made us on the sixth day. We're the pinnacle. We're the top of his creation, the model to emulate him. If man can see God, that's how he would look. But we had a fall in the garden, so God got a little tainted. God done been a little disfigured. And that's why we know about the potter. He gave us that in Jeremiah. And it made me understand that more, why he gives those certain prophets, certain parables, and to tell through their writing so we can see it and get more understanding of how we live and how our life are. So we to be faithful. Man, I sure didn't. Come on. I don't even know what the phone was. I should have asked, can anybody hear me? I've been talking for 36 minutes. I apologize for that. But our job is to be faithful. The faithful will result into what Yahweh wants as perfection. And we'll become those polished jewels that he mentioned in, what's that? Malachi chapter 3, verse 15 and 17. He'll you know. And remember, the high priest had an ephod with emeralds, jewels of the 12 tribes. We'll become those jewels. But we have to be what? We have to constantly be faithful. Don't worry about perfection. Because what the Proverbs say? A righteous man falls seven times. And I know you might say, ooh, I knew I'm on my six and a half. Do that one count? Rest assured, he's just giving the number seven. We know the number seven. People say completion. That's true. But the number seven also is what? In the Hebrew, the Zion. That's the Zion. That's a tool. Or the Madoc. That's a tool for what? Turning over ground, soil, to uproot things or break fallow ground and make ground ready to receive a seed and be nourished by the dew and the rain, so something fruitful can be produced out of that. So you may fail more than seven times, but just like, remember Paul, what was it, Matthew 18, I apologize, 17. And how many times should we forgive our brothers? He said seven. We say seven times, or something, 49 times. Now, he don't mean, go ahead, Kelly, you're 46. I'm tired of him. I'm tired of him. 47. You go beyond that. He just gave that 49. Because what came to my mind with that was that 49th day, which is going to be next Sabbath. Next Sabbath, sunset, it's going to be the 49th day, because he said count 7 weeks. Because why? We know the 7 weeks point to the seven millennia. We always want to be forgiven. Like Brother Dale Wells said on the episode last week of Brother Ariel, episode, him and Brother Mario, when they shared about the experiences that they went through, that Yahweh brought them through, being in a relationship, being divorced from our relationship or marriage. And they shared insights and things that can be very helpful. And I agree with both of the brothers, Brother Darewell, that Brother Ahavel spoke on it a little with some experience that he had himself of how, like, I was like that brother. I had hardened my heart times. I look back like I could have forgave somebody. Yes, even though the scriptures do say only time for a divorce is infidelity, but that's if I still could have been forgiving. Because they also say in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke 11, if you don't forgive, the Father will not forgive you. So that wasn't, yes, I got divorced because of that, but I could have forgave her and not hardened my heart. Because by hardening my heart, that messed up my future relationships with other young women. I ran some nice women away. Because why? My hardened state of heart, my stony heart from the past. So I've learned from that, and then confirmation came through Brother Darewell and Maria. Brother Maria last week, what they shared was like, there's no need for no stunt. Let it go. Hey, you forgiven. Are you hurt? Of course you'd be hurt. But Yahweh can heal you, and he can lick your wounds, and he can reveal you, and you can be better. You can be stronger so you can help somebody else. So they don't have to go through the hurt. Or like Brother Darewell said and Brother Mariel said, especially if it's other parties involved. When I say other parties, children are involved. You've had this, like I shared with my son one time, that was selfish on my behalf because I'm the man. But like people say, don't beat yourself up. She has something to do with you. Yeah, that's true. But I always like the way I was brought up by my father. You the man, Jim. You the man. You got to take care of everything. You the man. You can't take a day off. Like, huh? What are you talking about? You can't take a day off. A woman can take a day off. She can be, don't feel like she upset. You can't do that. You do that, you're going to be looked down upon. I'm like, whoa. Then my grandmother came one time, I was 18, dropped me off over her house, the one that was born in 1900. She messed me up so much she could go upstairs and change and put on a pair of pants. Grandmother never wore a pair of pants in her life, so I'm really scratching my head on my 18th birthday. Said, I can go upstairs and put on a pant, but you can't do that. You can't go upstairs and put on a dress. Go ahead and put on a dress, they be calling you a sissy all around here. I'm like, what, grandma? Maybe she was 85 in 1985. I'm like, maybe she is getting what's called senile then. I said, she's getting senile. But I understood when my father asked me what she said. I said, man, she said a lot of stuff, bro. And he explained to me. And now look how time's fast forward now. I said, whoa. But when she was trying to tell me, I got to be a man at all times. I got to provide and be for my family at all times. I can't switch up and want to go put a dress on. Or do not like, no. As a man, I have learned, though, thanks to reading the scriptures, and what is it? John 11, a man can cry. I was brought up under that, like, suck it up. You better not cry. Like, this hurt. I remember one time I switched, pulled my ligaments in my ankle so bad, my homeboy said, go ahead and cry, man. I ain't going to tell nobody tomorrow you cry. I said, man, I'm trying. It hurt so bad I was trying to cry, but at that time I was 15. It was already in me. Don't cry. It was only me and him because I just learned how to don't. So I'm up there showing off. Bat. Can't mess with us. He's like, go ahead, man. It looked bad, but go ahead and cry. I ain't going to tell nobody. I said, I can't cry. Shut up. That was that era we grew up. Every time I see my son, I hug him. Even when he was in high school, college, I don't care who out, he trying to be cool. Cool. Yep. Like, come on, he going to put his hand out, like, give me five. Like, man, I grab, like, give me my hug. Sometimes I kiss him on his neck with his cheek. Yeah, I didn't get that coming up. not from my father, my male parent. I came up in a generation where they started that when you did a good play, because I played sports in the 70s, 80s, coach would hit you on your lower, your thigh. When my father wore glasses, so where he was sitting at, that they hit the home run or stole the base and come up and made a good play, he'd walk up and say, hey, what's going on? Coach said, what you mean? You see what Robbie just did? I saw what Robbie was doing, but what you hitting him on his hind part for? Oh, no, sir, I hit him right here. Paul said, well, where I was looking, sitting at, that was too close. You ain't got to touch it. Tell him good play or get slap him five or tap him on the shoulder. But that coach was like, hey, I'm sorry, I ain't mean no harm, but it was right here. Hey, from then on, ain't nobody at me. Catch me nowhere. Better be giving it to me on my hand or tap me on my shoulder, tap me on my back. That was 1978. My father checked that. And now they didn't move up from the thigh. They actually tapping men on the hind part. Good play. But getting back to being faithful. No, don't worry about perfection, because a person can, you're going to mess up, but we don't practice sin. We don't wake up, well, I'm sinning today. I got a whole list. No, that's what 1 John means. A lot of new believers, people believe, like, I don't sin. Like, you're lying. You sinning right now. Romans 3 said, all have sinned and fell short of God. You're sinning now because you're lying. Lying is a commandment. But people don't have the understanding of things, or they read it as face value, not knowing what it means. But our thing is to be diligently and stay in that word and be faithful for the Most High. Which like I said, I don't even know if I'm on. Oh, no, yes, I do. Hold up. Oh, somebody sent me. Let me see what they said. Apologize, family. Somebody can't even hear me. Let me see what it said. Okay. Yeah, I must be on because Rabbi said something too. the faithfulness. Okay, what time is it? Good, 8:18. So since he led me that way, and so we just shared people that's what the what you would call the patriarchs, Abraham. Wasn't perfect, but he was faithful. Why? Yahweh called him his friend. He said, Abraham going to teach his children. That's why, Mm-hmm. That's why we know the word of Yah is all over this world. Because why? After he had Ishmael and Isaac, and Sarah died, and he was no longer with Hagar, who was Ishmael's mother, the Egyptian, he met Keturah and had some more sons. And they lived over a certain place, and he sent them away from Isaac and said, he gave them gifts. He sent them away, but Isaac got everything. So that word of Yah is everywhere. There's no excuse. But people didn't change it, put a little twist, like what, 2 Peter chapter 3:15, like Peter warned. If you're not learned and set under the teachers that know the word, you're not going to understand Brother Paul's teachings. And people right now, they accuse Brother Paul of being male chauvinist. He told you don't do the law, do what Yahweh don't want you to follow the law. That's not true. That's not Brother Paul. But if you're not taught to understand, you're going to twist it like Peter say, 2 Peter chapter 3:15-17, twist it to destruction. And they say not only all writings, so not just Brother Paul's writing especially, but you're going to twist the other brothers. Brother Peter, they twisted him in Acts chapter 10-15. He had a dream, a vision about a sheep. And people came and said, see, that vision was that you can eat pork now. No, that wasn't what that vision. I don't know how you read that. You need to go back and read it again one more time. You just stopped and was like, no. Read the whole account of it. And then ask the Holy Spirit to open you up and give you some leading guidance. And the Holy Spirit will take you back to Leviticus chapter 11 about an unclean food. Deuteronomy chapter 14. Then it's going to take you all the way back before there was the nation of Israel, the army of Israel that he brought out on the 15th of Abib from Egypt after 400 years of captivity. before there was what we know as people call now a Jew or whatever. He will take you back to Genesis chapter 7 with somebody, with eight people that was remaining on the world because of why? Because they was perfect. They was faithful. Well, excuse me. Their father, Noah, was faithful. They tell you that. Yahweh found favor. He gave Noah favor. Noah, Miss Noah, Ham, Miss Ham, Shem, Miss Shem, Japheth, Miss Japheth, Japheth. That's his three sons and they three wives. That's six. And Noah and his wife, that's eight people, found favor because of why? Their father, Noah, was faithful. And you know the rest of the story. That's how we here right now to this day, right now as we stand. And that's why every time you see a rainbow, Genesis chapter 9:11, no, that's not the gay community, LGBTQ community. No, they can bar it, but really they doing themselves a dishonor because right there when you stand, if you don't repent and come get out of that, that's an abomination. He going to say, oh, you had to know about me. You used my rank. You used my symbol, one of my symbols. Yeah, that's my symbol that I've never destroyed the earth again because of sin, stench sin that came and reached up to the heaven, which you was doing. So depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I know you fed a lot of people. I know you clothed a lot of people. I know you did. But you also led a lot of people to damnation straight with your belief or your burning, as is mentioned in Romans chapter, 1 and 2? That's when you do that abomination like that, that's a burning lust, a different lust. I mean, a different evil. It's levels of evil. I'm like, oh, levels of evil. Still sin, but it's levels. So what we have to realize, that we remain faithful. Abraham put that word out, Yahweh know it, be faithful. Jacob, was Jacob faithful? Was Jacob perfect? Nah. We know how Jacob started off, but guess what? He started getting faithful. He got back to being faithful. Remember on the way, to his cousin's house, Laman. He said, he put that rock there, Bethel, and said, hey, whatever you give me, I'm going to give you a tenth. So he remembered and he remained faithful. And we know how the rest of it go with Jacob. Then we know about Isaac, who the seed of, who points to the seed, the foreshadow of Yahushua. We don't hear a lot about Isaac, but we know was he perfect? No, because remember, he did the same thing his father did. But what did he do? He remained faithful when Yahweh told him, don't go down. Stay right, go to Gerar, G-E-R-A-R. Go there during the famine, and I'm going to prosper you. He stayed faithful. Joseph, was Joseph perfect? Only Yahweh know from what the account that we know about him. In the world, people say, nah, he told on his brothers. Nah, he was being obedient to his father, Jacob, who told him to go out and do those things. But what did the results happen to him? He got thrown in a pit and taken away for 17 years. He didn't see his family. But what did Joseph do? Most people would have said, man, I'm down here in a land that's not of my father, it's my people. These people ain't me. They don't know what a Hebrew, what we do. I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to get buck wild out here. No, Joseph didn't. Joseph remained faithful. How do you know, Shabel? Because he said when the Potiphar wife approached him in the house and was putting a advance on him, said he came out his cloak and his cloak and ran out the house, which got him put in prison because she twisted and said, look, he even left it. He tried to come with this Hebrew you brought in here. Demarcus, he even left his cloak and trying to get at me. Man got put in prison. Did he curse Yah like Miss Job told Job? When Job started getting the test that Yahweh told Hasatan, you can do everything. You can take everything you want from him, but you can't touch his life. Because Hasatan said, oh, he only worshiping you, man. He only being faithful to you because of the things you give him and bless him. Yahweh knew Job. But he said, Job needs a little work, but I know more about Job than you, but go ahead. This trial will make him even better. Why? He'll be real faithful. He's not going to just show the character. He's going to have the integrity when I get done this trial test. And we know you can go read about Job if you want to quick it, or fast track it like they used to tell people in the army, quick. Started in chapter about 36, 37, 30, 42, and you'll see. Is Job perfect? Yeah, in the eyes of everybody else. But what about Yahweh eyes? No, Yahweh wanted him to be have more integrity and be more faithful in that integrity. Joseph, he remained faithful, and what happened? He got delivered and became what? Number two in the land of Egypt. Faithful. Not perfect. Faithful. And there's others in those scriptures that we can go through. First king of Israel, Saul, wasn't faithful. So how do you say that? He did not supposed to talk to the witch of Endor to try to talk to Samuel, who Samuel had been dead. Before that account, it wouldn't have never happened if he was faithful to listen to the word of the seer. Samuel was called a prophet. He forgot when he was a young man before he was anointed, he was sent out with him in one of his father's servants to find his father's mules, his donkey. And his father's servant said, I know what we can do. We can take an offering to the sea of Samuel. He know everything. He'll find it. Yahweh want us to learn from that. When we at our ends and ends of our wits and want to know what to do, but Yahweh know all things. Ain't nothing hidden from him. He know all things. Go to Yahweh. Seek Yahweh. Saul forgot that. And what did he do? He wasn't faithful when Samuel told him what Yahweh instructed him. I want you to go in there. I want you killed. Man, old woman, old maidens, old men, women that with babies, breastfeeding. Most people are like, oh, not a baby, a itty bitty baby. Kill it. Because you don't understand by you being a mere human being, you smart and intelligent, but you don't understand the evilness and the wickedness that I know that's in the seeds and descendants of these people. It's beyond a repentance. So now I want to what? Like Abel was saying last week, I want to dig deep. I'm the gardener. What is it saying? What? John 15, Matthew 15. I'm the true vine. My father, the husband vine. Depart from me. You can't do nothing for me. So he said, I'm the gardener. We going to know. I know how to kill this. We're going to uproot this from the root. Trust me. Now go in there and kill everything. Don't bring me near animal or nothing. You know the story. Go to what is it? 1 Samuel? Chapter 6 or 7, so you'll find that count. Saul wasn't what? He wasn't faithful. He forgot. He tried to be what? Perfect. And we kept the king. That ain't what he told him. So basically, we put this in, you know, how we like to do it Beth Yahweh. All those things was written for our learning. I was Romans 15. He kept Satan. The king, because you know, we got to look at the story like this. He kept Satan. We told him, kill everything. Kill all his workers, the demons, his, you know, Satan's subordinates, his taskmasters. No. And that's what we had to be careful for in the world. Remember Achan? First defeat of Israel under the command of Yahshua. And then the scriptures say Joshua, the fifth book. Joshua wondered what's going on. Joshua, faithful. He always did. He's like, how we lose? And Yahweh told him, and he's going to say, you got anything in your tent? Anybody got anything? And old boy Achan said, yeah. Achan kept a nice piece of, I guess, I forgot what it was, jewelry, whatever, nice threads, nice silk robe. By him doing that, he caused himself to die and his whole family for not being what? Faithful. And he caused some men of Israel and some people of Israel to lose their father or their son or their brother or uncles or friends. Because they died in that battle. So we have to stay faithful. What time is it? Okay, 38. So the main thing that we had to realize and keep focused when Yahweh was showing me, and I shared with Brother Ariel, yesterday, Thursday, it was faithfulness. He's like, you beat yourself up too much, because I used to be one of my nicknames in service or even opposite, on jobs in the workforce. Mr. Perfection, he just got to do it to the T. I'm like, yeah, You didn't grow up in Mr. Perfection's household where you got a punishment and a beating. Well, so you in my household, you better do it to the T, or they're gonna round you up. Well, he outside playing. He can do it when he come back. No, he can't. He gonna pull up. Hey, yeah. Can he hit Mr. Rob before he go? Yeah, he can hit if you want. You can hit if you want to, Jim. See, your father said you can go in and hit. You crazy. That's a setup. I'm gone. I went up there and hit that ball if I wanted to. I probably would have been able to come out for 2 summers. That's some of my friends. Like, he said you can hit, man. Yeah, right. But the way I was brought up in the household, so that profession is, it kind of helped me in my walk with the Most High. Like, yeah, it's not so much being perfection in the world standards or whatever, but to be more, to turn that perfectionist to being more faithful to the Most High and His ways of standing. Because why? We've written epistles. I think Dale Well taught that already or something. Maybe I have done some. We're written epistles right now. We're lively written epistles. We've written, believe it or not, fam, you're walking tours, walking Bibles. Yeah, because some people never open up a Bible. Some people never been to a church. That's why your body is the temple. Like Brother Ariel, Brother Mariel taught a couple Sabbaths back. That's why Paul tells us our body is the temple where the Most High we give him honor. So we had to present this temple to this world, this darkened world, because people never seen the image of the Most High, nowadays the Son of God, the right way, portrayed the right way. It's a form of godliness going on all over this world. Every Sunday, every cut on the TV. Oh, my cable ain't hooked up, but I never hooked up the box. I got cable, but never hooked up the new box. But you cut on right now, it's a Christian TV on now, probably called TVN, Christian Network. It looks got some nice character going, but for a person that knows, there's no integrity behind it, there's no faithfulness behind it. So why? They're not following the commands of being obedient and following His law, statutes, and commandments. So no, there's a way to look right. Excuse me, there's a way to sing right, but that way leads to death. There's another scripture in 12. I came across it because that night I kept wondering, where was it? I think it was Proverbs 6:25. I kept saying 6:25. But there's another one in chapter 12, chapter 14, and it tells you the other. Matter of fact, we're going to find that. Sorry about that, family, but because the last time I taught, I couldn't get that scripture right to save my life. Got another text from somebody. Oh, Rabbi said it clear. Oh, hallelujah, told up. Okay. Hallelujah, Brother Ivy said, where he at, Mishkapah, there's a little gentle rain, and has just begun, just the sunset time, Shabbat Shalom. He said that at 8:29. Apologize for not saying it. Torah, Aki Ivy, Beth Yahweh meteorologist. We equipped and everything. Okay. We'll find that scripture real quick. Last week, but the last time I taught, for some reason, I couldn't get it. Take your time. What about what? 8:35, we ain't going to be long, fam. What's that, 7:30? Going good. See, I see some of y'all been praying for me. Like, please, Lord, help him not be so long-winded. And it's been working. Prayers really work. They're true. Keep praying for the brother. I appreciate y'all. What did I say that one? Oh, Proverbs. When I say Proverbs 16,
It was one of those. Proverbs 16. I kept saying 24. 24 was pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Well, I was wrong. It was Proverbs chapter 16:25 that time. But there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end there are ways of death. See, because it's look perfection, but it's not being faithful. And being faithful, we already had a template. He already gave us in the books, the book of Leviticus, but not just that book, all the books of how to worship the Most High, what's acceptable and holy worship to him. You don't have to make up anything. It's already been done. It was like I was sharing with somebody today at the laundromat. They keep wondering, like, why when George Floyd, because I think it was 2 days ago, Wednesday was the second year anniversary of George Floyd. Are you familiar with the brother that got, yes, you can say, yes, murdered by the police officer up in Milwaukee. You need him on his neck and, you know, blocked his, airways for like 19 seconds. But anyway, people said they made a law for the hate crime for the Asians. They made a law for LGBTQ to not be discriminated, transgender, but they didn't make a law for him. 1962, July the 2nd, 1964, a law was made before George Floyd was born. Maybe he was born in 60. Anyway, the thing is, it was under the gentleman, the young lady said that he wasn't a great leader and all that. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., that's what he represented for, and he lost his life for it, 6 years later. They signed those bills into laws. The thing is, no president has came along and enforced them and told this is how they're going to be enforced. You don't have to mute no more. It was already written in. The president has to have a meeting like I was sharing with brother, I think it was brother Shifwell we were talking. Or maybe it was somebody on my job. Same way a couple of years when Obama was the president, a gentleman named Dr. Henry Gates, he was a professor, a historian at Harvard or Yale, one of the Ivy League schools. And he does a lot of documentaries on slavery and stuff like that. But he was going to his home, I think, in the Upper Hamptons or wherever he lived at, you know, nice, prestigious neighborhood. And the police locked that man up. Man had a cane, come home from vacation, had a cane, whatever, knocked him up. So, you know, he wanted with this black dude, you know, going to port. But when it was all said and done, Dr. Gates and Obama, President Obama, and the police that locked him up, they drank a couple of stouts of beers in the Rose Garden. So what I'm saying is, all the president got to do, whoever the president is call every police chief and commissioner of the 50 states, invite them to the Rose Garden and serve some beer and let them know you continue to keep doing this, you're going to lose your pension. No, you're not going to get transferred to another county or move to two states where your cousin is. You're going to lose your pension and you blackball like I got blackballed. Yeah, I got blackballed back in 1994. Yep. That's how you solve it. And a person goes, you're going to have some people going to go, you know, you got people that kick against, like, forget that, I ain't worrying about it. Don't want to take it serious and go, I did lose my pension and I got 15 years in prison. And I got to do 75% of my 15 years before I get parole if I'm eligible. That's how you stop it. You got to be mean about business. So it's already been passed. Nobody been influencing, making it, enforce it. But getting back to this proverb, so see, there's a way to seem right, even with that civil right stuff. I don't mean to say stuff, but that man, a lot of men and women lost their lives during those years. And it's sad how this, what's that? I'm 54, I'll be 55. 58 years later, things still ain't, nothing changed. And people say, oh, you should be happy. No, why should I be happy? You should be happy. It's like this way. Anyway, Proverbs 16:25, there's a way to sing, right? Unto a man, but that in there are ways of death. But it was one, like I told you, I said, but it's And I didn't find it that my teaching was over. But it's another thing to go with that. Proverbs chapter 12. I was on, but I just couldn't put them together. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26 says this. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduces them. See how Sadiq, that's righteousness in the Hebrew, 66:62, lawful, righteous, upright, just, excellent, 84:46 in the Hebrew, Torah, to search out, to spy out, to seek, to find out how to do something. See, like with us, being faithful. What was the one? Proverbs. Let me go back to the Bible. Ain't slow. Come on, give me something, man. That's fine. What was that Proverbs? But then you go down to Proverbs chapter 12, that same one. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28. And it says, in the way of righteousness, right? That righteousness in this verse is Hebrews 6:6:6:6, where the righteousness in verse 26, well, that's righteous, is 6:6:6:2, I apologize, is righteousness in verse 28. That righteousness is justice, righteousness, rectitude, morally, that's the one I'm looking for, virtue, figurative prosperity. That's what perfect, when you hear, you say David was perfect, that prosperity, in the Christian church, they use that prosperity the wrong way. The prosperity is not based on the wealth and the things you accumulate, is your zadik, your righteousness, your faithfulness in the ways of the Most High. Because what Ahabel read every Sabbath before any teacher come on? More precious than gold and the finest gold. We know in the book of Genesis, they say Havilah, where the river Pison, one of the rivers that came out, that's where the fine gold is. So it's more precious, more sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. The righteousness, that prosperity, not what people been taught by these pastors that haven't been sent. Proverbs chapter 12:28, it says, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway, therefore, there is no death. See how Proverbs 16:25 say there's a way that seems right, and way, but that way leads into death. But Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28 says, in the way of righteousness is life. In the way of faithfulness is life. And in the pathway thereof, there is no death. Because why? Romans 6:23 said, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of Yah, God, eternal life through HaMashiach Yahushua. That's that salvation, that season we just came out of. Hallelujah. I'm glad I finally cleared it up. I couldn't find that verse. No, actually. And I don't want to leave you without, because I was thinking, I said, man, we in these weeks and these countings, the people may say, I never seen Yahshua do something like that. So this just came to my mind, hallelujah. I don't want to leave you without that because it's quarter of. I want you to enjoy your Shabbat. Let's go to praying. How I do this. Oh, I know how we're going to do this. And I'm going to be reading this one out of like this is the complete Jewish Bible. Maybe that ain't the one I want. We're going to see. Call it the authorized king. Okay. No, that's not it. Man. Let me see. No, because I don't want to throw that out there. Because, like I said, I didn't even have enough to see something. I'm going to see something, make sure. No, that's not the one I want. Apologize, fam. I wanted to give you a verse pertaining to this time of the season, but like I said, I didn't even think about that. I can't remember where it was at. And anyway. That ain't it. But like I said, maybe, yeah, I will in the next time. I'll have that. Maybe that's what I might do the lesson on. Because I wanted to show some examples of this time of the year. But you know it was Samuel had it in one of the locations. But getting back to being faithful, that's the key to this walk where Yahweh admonishes the most out of his children. He know we're not perfect because Psalms 103 tell us he know what we're made of consists of dust, dirt. You know what he consists of. That's right in Genesis chapter 1. But the key is he want us to be faithful to his ways, faithful to his Torah. It may seem like you're not going nowhere, things not going your way or no favors coming your way, but it's being marked, it's being watched. It's being observed up in the kingdom. It's being written. Like, that's my servant. She's being faithful. That's my servant. He's being faithful. And then that's when we heard in the scriptures when people marked and said, where your God now? I think it's what, Psalm 75 has mentioned something like that too. So where's your God now? I think Jeremiah even was questioning one time. Habakkuk was questioning. A lot of the prophets were questioning, like, oh, all I see is seem like the wicked is prospering. There's a way to seem right. And then we just read Proverbs, 12:28. That righteousness. Continue to be faithful. So on that note, family, because like I said, I couldn't find them examples that just came to my mind. Right now, thanks to Brother Ivy telling us, right now, the sun has set. Today is the 27th. Of Ziph, the second month according to Yahweh, but the Gregorian calendar is the 27th of their date. I mean, on their calendar, but it's the fifth month according to them. And the day is the 41st day. The 41st day of the sixth week of counting that Omer. And I apologize for that. I should have thought of that. I found scriptures based around that. Apologize for that. And so tomorrow at sunset will be the 28th of Ziph, and it'll be the 42nd day, the last day of the sixth week. And because then that Sunday at sunset will be the first day of the seventh and final week of counting that Omer. And remember, family, like we was told to observe the month of Abib, and remember in the month of Ziph, Solomon began to build the temple. So let's realize we're still building this temple. Remember, we're the lively stones, like Peter told us. We're the royal priesthood. We're the lively stones that fit all around the chief cornerstone. Al Bell did a lesson on it. It was beautiful. It was on Blog Time. I apologize. Just happened to come to. We're still building that temple, that Abraham is searching for. That temple that man hands didn't build. Remember, Yahshua said, I tear this temple down, and in 3 days, the Father going to give me power to lift it up. They like, it took 46 years to build a temple. What are you talking? He wasn't talking about that temple, which he prophesied and told them, remember, don't marvel on the stones and the beauty of that temple. The temple not going to be here. You know how the history goes. 70 AD, it was destroyed. They had that in what? History. So they can't deny this stuff. History will show you them taking a menorah, taking things out the temple once again, like it was written in during Babylonian captivity in the book of Jeremiah, for being what? Disobedient and not being faithful. They look perfect. Remember, but Yahshua called that, when you do that, what he called, what he told the Pharisees in Matthew 23, you're a bunch of whitewashed tombs. What he said, sepulchres. Bunch of whitewashed tombs. What he said, dead, full of dead bones. Look pretty, but there's no substance, no integrity, no faithfulness in you. Just empty, hollow. No, we had to be full. So we the people now, family, remain, stay faithful. You're the living testimony, the living Torah. You're the living temple that people get to actually get the chance to see what is righteousness or according to the Bible. And then they can compare, like, with they say this on TV. They say this on the radio. But the Bible say this, and I only see one group of people, a certain few people that is doing this. They're going on Saturday, or they're coming out on certain days. They say they holy day, and they can't come to work and calling out. Remain faithful, because you're the witness. You're the testimony of Yahshua. You're the faithful saints that Revelation say, don't get worried. We obey the laws and the commandments. Some people just do one. And the testimonies of Yahshua. When we do those things, and stay faithful. And on that note, family, we're going to end. I'm going to say a prayer. It's 8:53. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, thank you for allowing us to enter into your Shabbat. Thank you for each and every one of us to make it into your Shabbat. And any burdens that we have, Father God, relieve us of those burdens. You told us to leave them at the door, outside the door, before we enter in your Shabbat. Well, you know we're mere humans, and we know how this world can beat us up, but that's where you are forgiven, El. That's where you are understanding, El, Mighty One. So that way we decrease so you can increase, and you remove that burden from us, whatever we had, whatever's on our minds. Continue, Father, to lead and guide us and open up our spiritual ears and eyes and show us your ways, that we can walk in your ways so we can come out of this world, this system, so we can teach people how to come out of your world and be your representatives here on earth. Continue to watch over Sister Debbie, our coach Debbie, and strengthen her. Continue to strengthen her son, Kevin. Tell any strongholds he have and any doubts and fears that he have, move the spirit of, we don't have a spirit of fear, but spirit of love and power. So he can be, his ears can be open, so he can stay in constant communication with you. So when you tell him what Sister Debbie needs, so he can relay it to the doctors. Continue to strengthen little sister Naomi and her walk of faith that she's enduring now. Stay faithful, sis. Stay faithful. Continue to strengthen Sister Darlene, her mother, so she can stay faithful and keep her daughter encouraged. Strengthen her. Continue to strengthen Ahabel, her father, so he can stay faithful and strengthen him and his family. To comfort Brother Yariel and his family, the Moses, for the loss of his sibling. Continue to strengthen Brother Dale Well as he's getting stronger and beginning to walk more, Abba. Continue to strengthen all my Kohanes. I don't know what they may be ailing with, but you know. And watch over Brother Ariel and his family as they travel, or hopefully they made it there, where they going to their destination, and make so they can arrive back safely when they do come back. Continue to watch over our teenagers and the children and Beth Yahweh, keep any unclean spirits from them. Continue to watch over our young adults and our young female adults so they can combat and tear down uproot that spirit of feminism, which we know as the spirit of Jezebel, which comes from the father of lies, Hasatan. Continue strengthening them and our Zakins, Zakin Ward, Zakin Garrett. Continue strengthening our spiritual leader, Yakael. Keep him encouraged. Keep him where he can remain faithful. Strengthen him. Continue strengthening him. Lead him and guide him and give him your words so he can dispense them amongst us, your flock, your little sheep. And continue to bless this listening audience, whoever tuned in. Strengthen them and enable them to be able to walk through this and get them to understand it. And watch over all of our families and friends and our neighborhoods and where we do your will and help our unbelief. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the King of the universe, rock of all eternities, righteousness in all generations, the trustworthy, mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills all, whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Now, one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. And have a good evening, Beth Yahweh. Shabbat Shalom. Hallelujah.